Okay, it's 12 o'clock and we'll call the order of the Tarrant County 911 Emergency Assistance District Board of Managers meeting. And with that, we'll go to item number two, agenda announcements.
All right, on our agenda, we, in section four, we have a public hearing. We have currently six individuals who would like to speak during that time. Per previous guidelines, the speakers are allowed between 3 to 5 minutes, is my understanding, so I want to keep that in mind.
Okay. Any concern among the board members about limiting the speakers to 5 minutes? Is that acceptable? Okay. Then we'll move to item number three, approval of consent agenda items.
Move approval of consent agenda.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. So we'll move into section four, the public hearing, and if you could, let's go ahead and, our first speaker today, Ms. Sherry Chapel Pratt, are you here? I'm sorry, where am I?
It says number one.
Number one, we have a new one, okay. All right. Latisha Jackson McDougal, are you here?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am, the floor is yours. You have 5 minutes to share with you, with the board, what you'd like.
My name is Latisha Jackson McDougal. I'm the founder of Cheryl's Voice. Cheryl's Voice is a nonprofit organization that provides workshops and education on domestic violence awareness in our community. Cheryl was my mother. When I think about text 911, I actually think about her and if that was a possibility when she made attempts to call 911. Unfortunately, I witnessed the murder of my mother and the suicide of my father, which is why Cheryl's Voice exists. When I think about text 911, I think about the two kids that were taken because their mother had encouraged them to run across the street to try to seek for help from the abuser, which is their father. And unfortunately, someone saw them and kidnapped them. When I think about why text 911 would be important for our community, I think about how many children could benefit from being able to send a text so the abuser doesn't hear them calling and trying to prevent them. I think about how a woman or a man that's being abused could be able to call for help by sending a nonverbal text and being able to get someone to assist them with help before someone hears them and stops them or prevents them from doing so. I just feel that text 911 is something that our entire community can benefit from. It can also help our first responders. If we know that law enforcement, that's the most critical time when they have to respond to a call. And if someone calls 911 and the abuser interrupts, hangs up, well, the police are still gonna show up, but they don't really know what they're walking into. Versus if they have a text message, the victim can actually say what the abuser's doing, if he has a gun, prepare our law enforcement when they show up. So this is why I think text 911 would be very beneficial for our community. And it's something that I feel strongly about and really hope that we can do that. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, our next speaker is, I'm terrible with names, Elena Baines?
Sure, it's Elena.
Elena, sorry.
That's all right. Good afternoon. My name is Elena and I am here on behalf of District Attorney Sharon Wilson. I'm the chief of the Intimate Partner Violence Unit, which is the new division, well, newer division, that handles only felony intimate partner violence cases. And when I think about text 911, it's a lot of the things that were just talked about. And for me and for our office, it's about giving our victims options. It's about meeting our victims and the people that we're dealing with where they're at and where they are and how they can communicate with law enforcement. It's been my experience over the past 11 years that people have difficulty intersecting with law enforcement sometimes and certainly navigating with the criminal justice system. And so if we can give them options and give them outlets to do what they need to do to find us, then I think that that is an excellent resource for this county. I had an opportunity to speak with the CEO of Safe Haven, who is Catherine Jacob, and they operate the domestic violence hotline. I see the women's centers here, and they operate, obviously, the rape crisis hotline. But I talked to her about other options. Is it just a phone line? And she informed me that no, they'll accept a tip coming to their Facebook page. They will accept a tip coming to an email, a tip coming to a text to a staff member. And the reason why they do that is because it gives their victims options. Because we trust that our victims know the best way to handle their own situation. And so if that is calling because they can, then we want them to do that. If that is texting because they are a child or because they are hiding in a closet or because they don't want someone to see, then we want them to have that opportunity. We have a number of incidents that we have an assault that comes right hand in hand with an interference with an emergency call. And what it is you have a 911 call and then an immediate scratching and hang up with a broken phone because the perpetrator is attempting to stop that in that emergency phone call. And so if that individual could reach out via text 911 and get law enforcement involved when things are escalating, we think it could potentially even save lives of the individuals that are intersecting with that sort of violence. So it's not just about domestic violence, obviously. We have victims on all sorts of cases that might be the better way for them to operate. So again, for us, it's giving anybody who needs to reach out to law enforcement or the criminal justice system options.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I think next up to speak is Sherry Chapel Pratt.
Good afternoon. I am here on behalf of the Women's Center of Camden County, and like the two ladies said, we do work with victims of sexual assault, and we think that text 911 would be a great option for the men, women, and children who are being impacted by sexual assault. They will have an opportunity other than a phone call for all the reasons that they listed to be able to text for help. I also am the director of counseling for our mental health program, side of the program, and many times we have family members who need to reach out for help because their loved one is in the midst of a psychiatric episode and they need to get help there, but to have a phone in their hand and to be calling may further aggravate or escalate that situation. And so on behalf of our families and the community, we're dealing with relatives, family members, strangers who are having a mental health crisis. Text 911 is a perfect solution for that as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Carrie Terry?
My name is Carrie Terry. I'm a financial advisor at Edward Jones up in North Fort Worth, but I serve as the president of the HLAA Fort Worth chapter, which is the Hearing Loss Association of America. I became a cochlear implant recipient back in 2009, so I've had my cochlear for almost 10 years. Didn't lose my hearing until I was 30, and just through hereditary nerve deafness, was totally deaf and couldn't hear for 10 years. I functioned as a vice president of a medical device manufacturer for those years, and as I became more aware of the hearing loss community and the needs that they had, I became the president of our organization in Fort Worth. People that are deaf and hard of hearing can utilize this service predominantly because they can't hear on the phone. Many people can't. So I imagine that the call center would get calls that would be left just off the hook. Many people with cochlear implants who were born deaf, like you see the videos of children online who receive the cochlear implants, it's a process for their brain to learn how to hear sound. So while they may hear beeps and tones, they might not recognize speech. So for me, it was just like a light switch because I had heard for 30 years before, whenever I was implanted with the cochlear implant, it was just like a light switch. So my hearing was restored almost to where it was before I lost my hearing, sometimes better. Because when I have a migraine, I can just take this off and I can't hear anybody. I can't hear the tornado sirens either. So this time of the year, I have to rely on my wife and grandkids to wake me up. So this could really be a benefit for people who can't hear because they're not going to be able to speak on the phone. As well as it would be for the earliest possible detection of some abuse or sexual abuse cases, it might be the only option for people who are deaf and hard of hearing. So especially for those who have no way to communicate, but the text is just the way that we are all doing it now, because I'm sure you know, if you have kids, can't hardly communicate with them. I'd be sitting at the dinner table and they have to text them, how was your day? So it is an epidemic. We are going to see more hearing loss in the future thanks to earbuds and the close proximity of sound devices that we put on our ears. So we need to be ready to handle that as well.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Makia Pavers?
Powers.
Powers, I'm sorry.
Hi, I'm Mieka Powers. I work for a nonprofit agency, Colorado Region Fort Worth. We're a nonprofit. We help people with all types of disabilities to live independently. Basically, I agree with him and the other ladies as well. Tarrant County 911, the text project will be a great benefit for my consumers who are have speech impairments that can't speak. That are nonverbal, that have spina bifida, or that have suffered from a stroke, or any other processes that eliminates them to use their voices. So I believe being able to text for help would be a great benefit for them.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Jeff, Jeff Lou? Jeff Baylou?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was just signing in for the meeting.
Okay. No comment?
No. No. I was told to sign in, so I signed in. I was misinformed. I was set up.
Well, I certainly want to afford the opportunity. Sheriff Wayburn's here. Would you like to speak, sir?
I'd be glad to. As I think for all the things that you've just heard, I certainly support this ability to text. I know that the older I get, these kids communicate in a lot different manner. And for instance, they are certain not to listen to me on a phone anymore. But from the old military days, as I text them, because you know if they answer that, I know they got it. I hold them accountable to it. But anyway, that decided is I think it's just another avenue to communicate with us. And where there is always concerns of texting and driving and all those things that come along with that. But the child in the closet, the sexual assault victim that's afraid to speak, the domestic person, all of those things, very valid. But I think it's just another piece of technology where we can open that door to allow them to communicate with us that we should. And I think the technology has been here for a long time. So it's just us following up on it and seeing what we can do. That's my two cents. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And our fire marshal's here also. Randy, do you want to say anything to the board?
No. Chief Ballou signed up. I didn't sign up, but honestly, just something real quick. You know, I was coming today in case I got up to speak or asked to speak to talk about our first responders, whether it's fire or EMS, as far as what they're going into. Because a lot of times on 911 calls, they don't know. And with text to 911, we have that opportunity to know. And just last week, while I was driving around my car, I have access to the sheriff's radio and their CAD system. And I saw a note in the CAD to where Wise County Sheriff's Department was receiving a text to 911 from a lady about a domestic disturbance that was happening in Tarrant County, and they were transferred to Tarrant County. Both dispatchers talking, but Tarrant County couldn't get the text. You can't transfer that text. And so when I talked to the dispatcher with Tarrant County to ask, you know, could you just send me that? I'm interested in that. And she said, I wish we could do something about that. Now I'm not going to say her name, but, you know, do something about that. So it's a big issue. And I deal with the unincorporated area, and then I deal with all the other fire departments too. And we face a lot of things the same as law enforcement does. So if we can get that text to 911, man, that's an added for us. It's and for the citizens for sure. That's it.
May I add, just off of what Randy just said, is just to clarify that the technology shares what I said. It doesn't necessarily apply to all the county systems. You know, we're still somewhere in 1986 in some of it. So just because you're
Sir, anyone else here who didn't sign up would like to speak to the board on this issue? Any board members want to provide comment?
you know, I just might say, as since I work for AT&T, obviously, but we have seen a massive shift in the user interface, right, from voice to text. It seems like it is just the preponderance of our network impact now. So very few, as these generations move on, I don't even know if my kids know how to dial a phone, let alone, you know, that's how they communicate. So from a tools perspective, it has probably become the primary communication interface on our cellular network. So it's phenomenal how much that's being used.
I'll just add, as a board member, I'm very grateful for all of you being here to share your thoughts and concerns about this. I think personally, from my perspective as a board member, we're trying to go that way as quickly and as efficiently as we can to make this happen. But, you know, as the sheriff pointed out, we are dealing with some stuff that's quite old and trying to figure out how to do that. So, but we definitely, from my perspective, definitely appreciate all of your comments and your input and do support the idea of doing this.
Yeah, I think from my perspective, there's not a board member here that doesn't support this. But there are a lot of moving pieces to this that, as a board, we have to make sure that we are moving at a pace that all of the agencies that we represent can manage. And it's more than just flipping a switch and turning this ability on. There's obviously the infrastructure piece of this. There's a security piece of this as well. And then there's a staffing piece that all of our 911 centers need to be prepared for and be trained for. And so it's not a matter of just turning on a switch and now all of a sudden we have text to 911. And so as the head of a police department that runs a 911 center, fully support the concept, but want to make sure that we're not overtaxing our ability to then handle those text to 911 calls and that ability to get the help to the right people. And so as a board, we're moving that direction. Probably, certainly not at the pace that many of our community members would like for us to be moving, but we also don't want to move so fast that we make mistakes and create other issues that we're then unable to account for.
Thank you, Chief. Mr. Bronson?
I'd like to add on to what the Chief said. Thank y'all for coming. In every area where text 911 has been introduced, a key feature of that has been the education of the public. It's a common message: call when you can, text if you can. Text 911 is a last option for communication, but it is a vital one. And as we make these decisions about infrastructure and security and those other things, we're going to have to ask y'all to help us figure out how to communicate within your constituencies the proper way to educate and reach out to folks. So thank you for coming, and we're glad you're signing up.
Yes, sir.
Nice to express my appreciation for all of you coming to speak on this. This is certainly not a new issue to the board. It's been something we've been addressing for quite some time, and we take it very, very seriously, and we're trying to get a full application or implementation as soon as possible. But I think it is important that we be able to do it across the board. And that does bring us to some problems in one area, maybe not in another. So we are very, very much aware. And I believe all of us are sincerely trying to make this happen as soon as possible.
I'll just say I appreciate everyone coming. It's good to hear all the voices and the stories. Past experiences and what could happen in the future. So I look forward to working as we work towards getting 911 fixed.
And I guess I'll close it with, we serve about 2.5 million people through many cities, and so there's lots of moving parts, as Chief Spivey mentioned. The other thing that we do worry about is security. 911 system is a utility, essentially. It's a critical system like the utilities are. It can't fail. So we have to be properly positioned to where we can't be hacked, or we have security protocols and redundancies that keep the system up if we are attacked from the outside, which is a concern for us as we look at implementation. But it's also good to have what we we proceed now as partnership in the room, that as we start to move forward, we can collectively communicate with our stakeholders to help get the message across that text 911 should be the last option, because a quicker transaction is a verbal communication. Where it's not available, then the system can work. But you can see the complexity and the size of our system means we have to be very careful, not only from an implementation strategy, but from a security strategy, because there are so many varied stakeholders connected into our system. So ensuring that certain protocols and other issues are addressed from a security perspective are something that doesn't go unwarranted in our ears. As the Department of Homeland Security has come out and made some statements around protecting 911 systems. So I think we're all on the same page. I think we're clearly not moving at the pace that others would want us to, but we're about to finish a next generation equipment project that'll be completed this year, hopefully. And at the same time, we're moving towards a text to 911 process with hopefully a security process. And then also the other thing is we'll be retooling our 911 universe as communications handled by text are different, and that'll create different demands in the individual public safety answering points and dispatch centers in our district. And all that requires communication, education, funding potentially to put this new technology into place and for it to be successful. So with that, we really appreciate the public's involvement and communication. We'll use that as we formulate an action plan, and hopefully in the not too distant future, we'll be communicating back to you and the public our go forward steps. And we'll reach out to you for your partnership as we move forward in implementation. So really appreciate everyone's investment and concern about our community. And it's refreshing that we're all looking towards the same stated goal. And I'm excited about the future as we diligently try to do the things we need to do to make this work. Because we have to get it right the first time. And that's what our goal is, to do it right the first time. So with that, if there's no more comment.
I'd like to say one more thing.
Sure.
We're not inventing this here by ourselves. There's over 1,900 PSAPs across the country that have implemented text 911. We have some blueprints. We have some case studies we can bring back to. We will be using those so that, you're right, we get it absolutely right the first time.
Okay, thank you, Rick. So with that, Randy?
With what I understand what you're saying, is there a timeline of training when the technology, security, and all that, so that we can look forward or know how we can help if we need to, you know, in the support of that?
We've asked the executive director to develop an implementation strategy that coincides with the completion of our CPE project that will roll out a strategy for the implementation of text on 911. We'll wait to hear from her. We're going to give her a few more months because it's a fairly complicated endeavor.
Right.
But as soon as that's rolled out formally, we'll communicate that with all our stakeholders.
Just something that we can hold on to, not hold the board to,
right,
so much, but something to hold on to, because I didn't know where we were, you know, on the issue.
Yeah, we you're right. We need a definitive implementation plan, just not unlike the CPE project, and so we would hope to have that within, you know, next few months, and we'll be communicating that to various parties.
Thank you.
Sure. Anyone else? Okay, so with that, I'll close the public hearing portion of the meeting, and we'll routine back to our normal business practices as a board. So, thank you all for attending.
Nope, pleasure to be here.
Thank you.
Good to see you,
Sheriff.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Good to see you. Good to see you.
Good, good. See you.
Yeah, I know it's been a long time.
You're still around. I'll come see you.
Stage one of the anger process.
The get together. Okay, I guess we'll continue on. Chief Jackson has made an interesting point in the agenda here regarding the public hearing. It's the consideration of the district and the 911 service fee. We didn't speak about service fees. We talked about text 911. I'm assuming there's no problem with that among the board members. Everyone.
Well, I guess I brought it up is. I thought this was about continuation of the 911 district. And so I just confused what the conversation was versus what the paper says.
Move approval of the continuation of the 911 district and the 911 service fee.
Second. It requires a motion.
Okay, we have a second. Any discussion on this? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. The public hearing, though, also did include a text to 911 discussion among stakeholders and let it so be noted in the minutes. And we utilized the public hearing as a vehicle to hear the public's comments on the issue. All right, then we'll move to item number 5, presentations.
Sarah, what's the CPE update?
So we have several sites that we're that are keeping us quite busy on construction front. I'll start there. We have had meetings with DFW Airport. They're looking at a completion of September 2020, but we're going to go ahead and install VESA ahead of time. We have AZL.
So, sorry, are you going to install it in 2019?
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
We're looking at the summer. Correct?
And it'll just be a move from old site to new.
Okay.
We have AZL that's under construction with a go live date of October. And then we have Westover Hills, but they will be more recent. So they're underway right now. We have upgrades coming up for Blue Mound on April 3rd and Grand Prairie Primary site on April 24th. Their backup site has been delayed from some city construction that also interfered with some facilities, telephony facilities into that building, so that's going to be a little bit delayed. We are also upgrading System 1 to 7.2, the latest software version, and that is going to fix a few of the things that we saw or noticed. And then we're also upgrading from Map Locate to Map Local, which is a much more user-friendly interface for mapping. And we're following up with training on that as we speak. And that will also provide some next generation, if we so choose, services. So it's a little future-proofing in the mapping.
How about Fort Worth?
We are starting discussions with Fort Worth. FD, we've already had discussions on. And then we have one scheduled this week for PD. So. They have several rounds of meetings since they're so big.
So is Fort Worth essentially our last set of PSAPs?
No, I think MedStar is the last.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
All right, thank you. Anybody? Any comments? All right, thank you. So we'll move to item 6, purchases over $25,000.
All right, we have got Mobile Command Bus. requests in both the radio and the PSAP assistance programs, an upgrade on for both of those, and that's A and B.
Is there documentation missing on these?
No, I don't normally include the assistance ones in there. Essentially, there are, or Travis, if you guys want to talk about it. Essentially, it's the radio component, the CAD component. I mean, pretty much gutting the command bus and starting this newer technology.
Yeah.
And the funding comes from where?
The PSAP assistance programs, yes. So I sent you and Rudy, as well as Rick, a copy of those already.
Basically, Irving's command vehicle with the push to Windows 10, the CSOP software that they use is no longer able to be used with the new Windows upgrade. So they're upgrading to what's a Mutual Link, which is also CSOP K12. It's used for radio and interoperability, which you can push through RF and also video. They will completely gut with the new computers, a new mast antenna system, pretty much a whole refurb of their interoperability vehicle that can be used for radio, telephony, video, any sort of big incident that they have in Irving.
Yeah, we need to come look into that. That's interesting. So this is all PSAP? These are all PSAP projects?
Both radio
they're
and
not
PSAP.
Normal budgetary? Okay.
No. Is it just because they're over 25,000?
So,
I second.
On all, well,
A and B.
So A and B, because Chief Spivey will have to abstain, right?
Okay, right.
Okay, so have a motion, Chief Jackson. Mayor Griffin seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. One abstention. Then we'll move to Councilman Frigel will sit down on item C, I guess. We have a motion for item C.
Move approval of item 6C.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. And then I guess Chief Jackson will set out for 6D and E. Have a motion.
I'll second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Move to the Executive Director's report.
All right. I don't have many things. We're not 100% sure how the public hearing was going to go, but a couple things I do want to mention. For many years, many of the 911 centers have supported an organization called Cape Cod Cares for the Troops, and what we have here is a poster that was sent to all of our PSAPs to include our folks here to sign and send to the group in Massachusetts, and then as they create the care packages for the bases across the world, they will get these signed by our telecommunicators, our Tarrant County offices, and we ask the board to also sign this particular one because it represents the board. And so Cape Cod Carers will then, as they create the packages, include these for the servicemen and women around the world. It's a great organization. Again, they're called Cape Cod Carers if you want to look it up. They started, a 12-year-old boy started about 10 years ago. And the work they do now is amazing. So if you have not seen this in the PSAPs, they have been circulating for a couple weeks, and it was a request to have the board sign one as well. So if you guys take care of that before you leave.
Thank you.
Let's see. That is all I have as far as that goes.
Okay, so we'll go to the legislative update. Somebody here for Brian or Bill?
They are both knee deep in legislation, all three of them actually. So they sent me a list, and I meant to print off a copy. I will forward you guys a copy. There are quite a few bills that affect 911. Some of the preeminent ones.
You have the bill numbers by chance?
Yes. So one of them is 86R.
Is that a House bill or a Senate bill?
Give me one second here. Senate. 86R SB 53. I will forward this to you. Okay. I was running around. I meant to make copies for you all. So that I just printed this morning. And that one is relating to requests for 911 services by text message and the provision of available contact information. And that is the author is Zaffarini.
What is, it's SB what?
I'm sorry?
SB.
Oh, I'm sorry, SBR. I'm sorry, 86R SB 53. I apologize.
SB 53, okay. Yeah, 86R is a legislative session.
And then SB 278 from Menendez prohibits abusive calls to 911. So it's relating to prohibiting, making, or encouraging, or inducing another to make silent or abusive calls to 911 service or public safety answering point, creating a criminal offense. Another one, HB 101 from Canales. This is in the House. And this one is relating to the creation of the criminal offense of false caller information display. HR 141, excuse me, in the House as well by White, recognizing March 4th of 2019 as 911 day at the state capitol.
You didn't go down on March the 4th? Come on.
There is, let's see here, there's about five bills that were related to the hurricane. Involves Homeland Security and Public Safety. So one of them is HB 2325, that's in the House by Metcalf, related to providing information and communication regarding and during a disaster. Communications during a disaster includes text to 911 language. Lozano, HB 4046, same thing. Communication during disaster includes text to 911 language. And then 2192, author Hinojosa, relating to the confidentiality of recording certain emergency calls. And the last one that we are really looking into is HB 2802. The language in there, this is by the House, relating to the amounts, availability, and use of certain statutory dedicated revenue and accounts, reducing or affecting the amount of certain statutory dedicated fees. And in that, as currently written, there's an indication of a reduction of the wireless fee amount. So our folks, before our Alliance, the directors meeting last week, they were in touch with the Lions and CSEC over this, and we're trying to get some clarification on the purpose of the verbiage and what the intent is. Naturally, the bill that was introduced or attempted to be introduced increasing the fee was shot down immediately because there was a request in the Senate to any bills that involved a fee increase to have that immediately indicated on the bill somewhere, I guess, in flashing yellow lights or however they wanted it. And naturally, we had to reflect that. And so it was immediately put to the side. However, the good thing is several of the members of the House and Senate have been in touch with our folks from the Alliance legal team, requested copies of the bill for consideration. So the legal team, together with the Alliance, are working on a game plan so that in the next 2 years we can spend some dedicated time with them to help them better understand the bill and the impact for next generation 911 technologies.
Did you say who the author of this one was, 2802?
Darby.
He's Odessa. Okay. So to encapsulate that, we don't expect a fee increase.
Correct.
But this is a fee reduction potentially?
Yes. And again, we're still trying to figure out the purpose of the bill to kind of get an idea of the possibility of having some verbiage added or adjusted in it so that it does not affect the wireless service fees for 911.
Because if it does, I guess we'll have to send a board member or two down there to discuss this issue.
Correct.
This would be disastrous for the district. Okay. I've had some dealings with Chairman Darby over the gas well issue. He's open-minded and fair. I think we'll, if this is something of concern, we'll certainly go down there and visit on it. Okay. Any more good news from us?
That's all I have from our legal team.
Okay. All right. Any issues for executive session?
No.
Okay. And back to section 11 for public comment. Anyone here for the public wants to comment? Okay. So do we have a motion for adjournment?
Second.
We are adjourned.
Wow. You're right. Okay.